Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kufchav Beis, and we are two lines from the bottom of daf Kufchav Alef Amid Beis Iboilu. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanesuna Matzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shleima for Rivka Basrach. So we're moving along here in the early part of Perek Yesh Noichlin, where the Gemara is discussing the way Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst the Yidden when they entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time in the times of Yeshua ben Nun and Elazar Kohen Gadol after spending 40 years in the Midbar. As we saw, there was some high-level machloikasin, most notably, L'yotze Mitzrayim Nischalka Haaretz or L'baye Haaretz Nischalka Haaretz. There was actually a third shita that holds Elu Ve'elu. It was L'yotze Mitzrayim and L'baye Haaretz. Today's daf is going to begin with another high-level question as it relates to understanding Chalukas Eretz Yisrael on the most basic elementary level. Says the Gemara, Ibayluhu, the Bnei Yeshiva had the following question. Eretz Yisrael, the Shvatim Iflug was divided amongst the Shvatim, Oidum Lekarfav Gavri Iflug, or it was divided amongst people. What's the question? Says the Rashba. Was Eretz Yisrael divided into 12 equal chalakim, corresponding to the 12 shvatim, or was it divided amongst the 600,000 some odd yidin that entered Eretz Yisrael? Meaning, was Eretz Yisrael divided into 12 equal parts and then subdivided amongst all the people of any particular shevet? Or it wasn't divided into 12 equal parts, it was divided into 600,000 equal parts. Obviously, if I belong to a certain shevet, so that determined where geographically in the land I was going to end up getting my chelik. But the point is, the initial chalukah, was it 12? Or was the initial chalukah 600,000? L'shvatim iflug, thus it would be 12. Or l'karfav gavri iflug, thus it would be 600,000. Now, just as an aside, because this is going to play itself out a little bit in the daf, in the event that it was divided into 12, so who are the 12 shvatim that got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? So we know Shevet Levi was ein loy chelik v'nachli imach. They didn't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So the way it's 12 is Shevet Yosef gets divided into two. So it's not Yosef, but rather it's Ephraim and it's Menashe. But the point is, when the land was divided, there were 12 shvatim, quote unquote, that got parts in Eretz Yisrael. And the question is, was the land initially divided into 12 and then subdivided within any particular shevet? Or the division was never per shevet. The geographic location was per shevet, but as it relates to the division, it was the karfif gavri iflug. It was 600,000, says the Gemara Toshma. I could bring you a raya from one of the psukim in Parshas Pinchas. So this is Bamidbar Perech Avav, the psukim that we've been talking about the last several dafin, and the pasuk over there says, Al pi ha-goyro te-cholik nachalasoi bein rav lima'ot. So it was via the goyro that the land was divided, and the pasuk says, bein rav lima'ot. And the way the Gemara understands this pasuk, bein rav lima'ot, means that the land was divided amongst the shvatim, and then subdivided amongst the members of the Shevet. And as a result, there were going to be certain Shvatim where the individuals were going to have Rav, they were going to have a lot of land. And then there were going to be certain Shvatim where the individuals were going to have Ma'at, they were going to have very little land. What did it depend on? How many members were there in the Shevet? If you have a Shevet with a little people, then it's Rav. If there's a Shevet with a lot of people, then it's going to be Ma'at. But from the fact that you see within the Shevet, sometimes it was Rav and sometimes it was Ma'at, so you say Meres, it must have been divided initially amongst the Shvatim into 12 equal parts, subdivided. Not every Shevet had the same census, and as a result, you're going to have a Bein Rav Lemat, just to speak it out a little bit better. Because if the land was divided L'chatchila, L'karfif Gavri, that means every single person gets a certain amount of square footage. So at the end of the day, every person is going to get equal amount. Now, certain Shvatim will end up with more, but that's only because they have more members. And the way the Gemara understands Bein Rav Lemat means that the individuals within any particular Shevin may have more, may have less. And that only makes sense, says the Gemara, if you hold L'shvatim Iflug. Thus, the Gemara says, Toshma, I have a raya from no less the pasuk that it was l'shvatim iflik. V'oy, the Gemara says, I'll bring you another raya. This is not from a pasuk. This is Tanya from a brisa. This is a classic Yehuda v'oy l'kra. So we have a raya from a pasuk, and then the Gemara says, it's actually a mefurish a brisa. So this brisa that the Gemara is going to bring now is a rather lengthy brisa. It's going to take us down about two-thirds of the Yamid. The part of the brisa that we need is actually the opening line. So from the first line of the brisa, we're going to already know the resolution to this shaila. The Gemara is going to speak it out mafurish after it mentions the whole brisa, but then we're going to learn a brisa. Either way, what does the brisa say? I see the Eretz Yisrael sheteschalik l'shloisha asa shvatim. That in the end of days when Mashiach is going to come, Eretz Yisrael is going to be divided again, and then it's going to be divided into 13 parts. Says the brisa, shebetchilo l'shloisha l'shneim asa shvatim. Initially, when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, it was divided into 12 parts. Abasida, it's going to be 13 parts. So if we stop right here, it would be a shmamino shmamino, because it's mefurish that betchilo lo nischalke elo l'shnei masa shvatim. You see, l'shvatim iflik. But either way, the brisa continues. The brisa says, v'lo nischalke elo bekesef. The way that the land was divided was with money. So money played a role in the division of the chalukah. Seems like it always does. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, bein rav lema'at, which has something to do with money. Rabbi Yehuda said that why would money play a role? It's because Sabi Yehuda, one sa of land, in Yehuda, Shava Chamish sa in Galil, is worth the equivalent of five sa in Galil, right? What gives land its value? It's not the dirt, but it's three things, location, location, location. Thus, a sa in Yehuda has the same value of five sa in Galil. Some people got in Yehuda, other people got in Galil, and to make things whole, right, to true up the chalukah, money had to trade hands. The Gemara, when it explains this brisa, is going to explain this in greater detail. Additionally, the brisa continues and says, you want to know how the land was divided? It was divided using gogoyrol shenema, as the pasuk says, ach begoyrol yecholik as haaretz v'leinischalke el urim v'tumim. Additionally, the urim v'tumim played a role in the way the land was divided. Shenema, as the pasuk says, al pi hagoyrol, and the Rashbam says that the words al pi is a remez, al pi something very transcendent, and that's the Urim V'tumim, HaKeitzad. Says the Braisa, how's it possible? What's the Kasha, HaKeitzad? Was it a Goyrul or was it the Urim V'tumim? Right, Goyrul sounds like he pulled poor. Alpi Urim V'tumim sounds like the Kohen Gadol used to always be Shoyl, you know, when necessary, when applicable, by the Urim V'tumim. It's not the same thing. So the Gemara says, how do you reconcile this? It went as follows. Elazar, who was the Kohen Gadol at the time, Malubish Urim V'tumim. He was wearing the Shmein of a Gadin. Included in that was the Urim V'tumim. V'Yeshua v'chol Yisrael, Oymnon Lefanav. And Yeshua Benon, who was the leader of the Jewish people at the time, and the rest of Klai Yisrael, they were all standing in front of him. V'kalpi shel Shvatim, v'kalpi shel Tchumin, mun Nachin Lefanav. There was a kalpi, which is a basket, that had the names of the shvatim in it. And there was another kalpi, which was a basket that had all the tchumen of Eretz Yisrael inside of it. And then Elazar Kohen Gadol, tapping into the power of the Urim V'Tumim, he would be mechavim beruach hakodesh. He would say the following. He would say, Zvulun oyla tchum akam oyla imay. He says, I'm going to pull out of the first kalpi, and you're going to say, I'm going to pull out Zvulun. And then I'm going to take from the other kalpi, which has the tchumen, and you can see I'm going to take out the tchum of Ak. Taraf bekalpi shel shvatim. He went ahead, they mished up the kalpis, v'alu b'yada zvulun. Taraf bekalpi shel tchumen, and then they mished up the kalpi of the tchumen, v'alu b'yada tchum Ak. Exactly the way he said it was going to happen. V'chayzum mecham b'ruch ha-goydesh. And then he would do it again, v'aymer, and he would say, Naftali oyla utchum ginoiser oyla imoy. From the kalpi of the shvatim I'm going to pull out Naftali, and from the kalpi of the tchumen I'm going to pull out the tchum of ginoiser. Tarf bekalpi shel shvatim. See, he went ahead and he mished the kalpi with the shvatim, v'alu b'yada naftali, and he pulled out naftali. Tarf bekalpi shel tchumen, and then he was tarf in the kalpi of tchumen, v'alu b'yada tchum ginoiser, v'chein kol shevet v'shevet, and he repeated this for each one of the shvatim. So was it alpi goyrel? Was it alpi ruach hakodesh? It was both. There was an element of ruach hakodesh because Elazar Kohen Gadol is making predictions of what's about to happen, and he's nailing every single one of them. How do we know he's nailing it? Because we're doing the goyrel afterwards, and exactly the way he said it was going to play itself out is the way it played itself out. The brisa continues. This is all part of the brisa. V'loike chalukah shel olam hazeh, chalukah shel olam haba. The chalukah that was done in olam hazeh, meaning through Yeshua ben Nun, is not like the chalukah that's going to happen when Mashiach is going to come. So whenever you see the word Olam Haba, you have to ask yourself, right? Which tkufa of Olam Haba is it? Is it Yemai Samashiach? Is it after the year 6000? Is it the Olam HaNeshamis? Right? There's different phases Tchias HaMesim of what Olam Haba is. But this Olam Haba is clearly talking about Yemos HaMashiach, when the Yidden are going to conquer the land once again. And says the Braisa that the Chalukah that's going to play itself out in the end of days is not the Chalukah of Olam Hazeh. How so? Olam Hazeh, Adam Yesh Lo Stei Lavan. If a person has a Stei Lavan, so that's a field that has grain in it, Ein Lo Stei Pardes. He doesn't have a Pardes. Meaning, in the Chalukah of Yeshua ben Nun, right? When we say Olam Hazeh, we don't mean like us today. We mean Yeshua ben Nun, when he divided the land. So if there was a Shevet or a person that got a Stei Lavan, he didn't get a Stei Pardes. It was almost not Shchiach that you were going to end up with a grain field and also some orchard of some sort. Stei Pardes, Ein Lo Stei Lavan. But the Olam Haba, when the land's going to be divided in the end of days, Ein Lecha Kol Echad Ve'Echad She'Ein Lo Bahar U'Beshvelo U'Be'Emek. Every single person is going to have mountainous regions and he's going to have deep terrains, and every person is going to have literally from all the different possibilities. How do you know this? Shenema, it's based on a pasuk in Yecheskel. This pasuk in Yecheskel, like many of the pasukim in Yecheskel, discuss la'asad lavoi, and it says Shar Ruvain Echad, Shar Yehuda Echad, and Shar Levi Echad. So all three of these shvatim are going to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be Echad. They're all going to be one and the same. What does it mean, one and the same? Whatever one has, the other one's going to have. What do you mean? They're in different parts of Eretz Yisrael. The Teretz is, in Lecha, you're not going to have a person she'ein lo bahar u'bashvela u'be'enek. The Braisa continues, and the Braisa says another difference between the chalukah of Olam Hazeh, meaning in the times of Shuvah Nun, and the chalukah of Olam Haba, meaning the times of Mashiach, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechalik lem ba'atzmai. That when the Yidden are going to get Eretz Yisrael, the Yemos HaMashiach, the one that's going to be distributing the parcels of property, is going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alein Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ve'eile Machlokoisam Ne'om Hashem. Hashem is the one, Ki'ilu, it's one of the Pesukim there in Yecheskel, that's going to be dividing the land. Either way, this was the Braisa. Why did we bring the Braisa? Says the Gemara, Ketani Miyaz. There's one line in the Braisa that we need, and it was the opening line of the Braisa, that is going to be a time that the land is going to be divided into 13 parts. But Bitchila was only 12. What do you see from this? Bitchila in Ischalke Elishne Masa Shvatim. Shmamino, the Shvatim Iflug. Shmamino, that's Poshet the Shaila. That was the Shvatim Iflug. Either way, so what was the first part of today's daf? Another very high level Ibaya. When the land was divided, was it divided amongst the Shvatim equally, meaning each Shevet got an equal Chalik, and then it was subdivided within any particular Shevet, depending on the sense of that Shevet, or it was not divided l'chatchila into 12 parts, fakert, it was divided into 600,000 parts. It was the Karf of Gavri, and we had two Tashmas, one from a Pasik, al pi agoyro teichalik nachalosai, bein rav l'mad. It sounds like some people had more land, other people had less land, must be, depending on if I'm in a stuffier Shevet, or a less stuffy Shevet, zayse meres l'shvatim. If look, the oitanya, it's a mafurisha price, that the land of Chatchila was divided into 12. Oh, and by the way, the Asad Lavai, it's going to be divided into 13. Either way, we brought this price, so the Gemara is going to do what it does, and that is unpack the price a little bit. Amar. I see there it's Yisrael. There's going to be a day that Eretz Yisrael is going to be divided into 13 parts, right? Amongst 13 Shvatim, Idach Laman. Who's the 13th Shevet? Rav Chizda said Lenasi. The 13th chelik is going to go to the Nasi. Rashbam says, who's the Nasi? L'melech HaMashiach. The Chziv, as the Pasuk says, V'ha'oived ha'ir, referring to the Nasi, Yavduhu mikol Shiftei Yisrael. All the Shiftei Yisrael are going to serve him. What does it mean they're going to serve him? They're going to give him a piece of land. So you see, the Melech HaMashiach is going to have a chelik of land that's going to be equal to what all the other Shvatim are going to have. Amalei Rapapa Labaya. Rapapa told Abaya, that Pasuk is a raya that he's going to get land. Maybe Yavduhu means what it sounds like it means. They're going to work for him. Meaning, they'll work for him. Kipshutai. But who said it means they're going to get land? So the Gemara says, "Lo yisolka daitach nokus." Read the pesukim over there in Yecheskel that talk about this inyan. It says, "V'hanoisar lanasi mize u'mize v'chumas hakodesh v'la achuzas ho'ir." That hanoisar, meaning there's going to be a leftover that's going to go to the nasi, and it's going to be mize u'mize. It's going to be from this shevet and from that shevet. It's referring to the land. The hanoisar, there's going to be like a shirayim of the land, right? Usually the Rebbe tells shirayim. Here the Rebbe's taking shirayim. So the hanoisar is going to not be me nasi, but it's going to be la nasi, and it's going to be mize u'mize. He's going to take from this one. He's going to take from that one. Everyone's going to pay a little bit. Meaning all the shvatim are going to give. What's the end of the pasuk? L'chumas HaKodesh ulachuza sa'ir, meaning in addition to the Makom HaMikdash and the Makom Ha'ir in Yerushalayim, which is also going to be somewhat miyuchad to the Melech HaMashiach. But the bottom line is, it's from that pasuk that Chazal knew that v'oivid ha'ir yavdu mikol shiftei Yisrael. What is it referring to? What it means is that there's going to be a 13th chelik, and who's going to get the 13th chelik? The Melech HaMashiach is going to get the 13th chelik. Now we're going to get back to this in a minute, but there's one Rashbam that's worth speaking out, and that is one of the psukim that the Gemara quoted here from Yecheskel. It's Perek Mem Ches, by the way. So it says, Shar Ruvein Echad, Shar Yehuda Echad, Shar Levi Echad. Now, why do you bring this pasuk? The context of this pasuk being brought was that Ruvein, Yehuda, and Levi are all going to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be Echad. They're going to have the identical chelik in Eretz Yisrael. But you see that Levi is going to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So Frank the Rashbam, a Geshmak Akasha, doesn't ask it for in toima v'yeshloimar, but essentially this is what's bothering the Rashbam, and that is that if it says I see the Eretz Yisrael shetischalik l'shloisha asa shvatim, right? The Gemara idach laman. What do you mean idach laman? And the answer is Melech HaMashiach. It's so poshut who the idach laman is. It's going to go to Shevet Levi because we know Shevet Levi didn't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So if Shevet Levi didn't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, so it's poshut who the idach laman is. What's the kasha? And the teretz seems to be the wrong teretz. The Idach Laman, the 13th Shevet L'Chayra, is Shevet Levi. So Rashbam says that it's Muchach from the Gemara, that the Gemara holds, that if Shevet Levi is going to get a Chelik in Eretz Yisrael, then by definition, that means that Yosef's not going to be divided into two parts. And Ephraim and Manasseh are going to come together. And that's another Chelik between the original Chalukah and the Chalukah of La'asad Lavi. So by definition, if Levi's getting, which we know from that Pasuk in Yecheskel, that means that Yosef is really one. If Yosef's one, so it's Vayter 12. If it's Vayter 12, Hadjuk Kushin L'Dukhtei Idach Laman. And the answer is, it must be that it's going to go to Melech HaMashiach. But I'll tell you something very interesting, and that is the Michas Chinuch in two places. And this Michas Chinuch is in Mitzvah Tav Ches, and it's also in Mitzvah Tav Kuf He. So in two different places, the Michas Chinuch asks a bomba kasha, and that is, we know Shevet Levi didn't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. But it wasn't just like a punk that Shevet Levi didn't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. There was a loisase for the leader of Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua ben Nun, and Elazar Kohen Gadol, to give a Levi a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Vayomer Hashem el Aharon, this is a pasuk in Parshas Korach, Ba'artzom loy simchal, v'chelek lo yilucha besoichem, ani chelkcha v'nachalascha betoich b'nei Yisrael. The Torah chazes over this lav in Mishneh Torah, in Parsha Shoftim. Lo yil lakoyhanim halevim kol shevet levi chelek v'nachala im Yisrael. Ishe Hashem v'nachalasa yoychelun. V'nachala lo yil loy bekerev echav. Hashem u'nachalasa kasha dibaloy. So freitim in Cheschinach, and he blibes tzorech iyun gadol on this kasha. He says, if that's the case, there's a loisase, and this is a loisase that's mentioned three times in the Torah, that a Levi is not allowed to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So how's it possible that also Lavoi, Shevet Levi, is going to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? How could they have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? There's psukim in the Torah that they're not allowed to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. This is Yemais HaMashiach, L'Chayra, this is not a tkufa of mitzvahs, petelos, also Lavoi. Pashtus, this is going to be at a time when Yidden are still going to be chayim in Torah mitzvahs. And if that's the case, how could you do that? Now, you'll tell me, yesh koich b'yad chachamim? True. Lakudavim in HaTorah b'shev al-taisa. But this is b'kum v'aseh. You're going to give the Levi a mechelik in Eretz Yisrael. L'chura, this is not something that is permissible. It's a pel. And the Michas Chinuch adds one nice knech. He says that we know that there are many psukim in Sefer Yecheskel that contradict Gufei Torah. But the Gemara addresses it. It's a Gemara Menachas Daf Mem Hei. And the Gemara worked on it. The Gemara reconciled it, right? Bikshu Chachamim, they wanted to hide Sefer Yecheskel. But the point is, at the end of the day, as far as we know, all the psukim that are problematic were dealt with. They were all addressed. And if that's the case, what's going on here? So I'll tell you, I heard from Yedidi Reb Levi Chomsky. He showed me a beautiful Maror Malkim. He showed me in the Pardes Yosef HaChadosh, and this is in Parshas Korach. If you want to look it up, it's Sivkot and Kuf Pei Zayin. And there's a sifkaton to that, Dalet. But either way, he brings in one of the Geras Sfarim, they say that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimkom Damai, once met the Imrei Emes. They started talking and learning, and Rabbi Chanan asked this kasha to the Imrei Emes. He asked him the Michas Chinuch's kasha. The truth is, Rabbi Chanan in Kovet Shiurim, right here al Atar, it's in Bava Basra, Ois Shin Ayin asks the Michas Chinuch's kasha. Bring the Michas Chinuch, doesn't sound like he saw the Michas Chinuch. But either way, this was a kasha that bothered Rabbi Chanan very, very badly, and he met the Imrei Emes, who Kiyadua was a Goyen Olam, and he asked the Imrei Emes this kasha. And the Imrei Emes told him, Al Atar, as follows. He says, we know that La'asad Lavoi, Asida Yerushalayim, is going to expand. It's going to be the size of the entire Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is going to expand as well. It's going to be the size of the entire world, it sounds like. I don't know. But the point is, it's going to be much, much bigger. So the Yemrei Emes told Rabbi Chanan, it could be this, that there was a kepeda, that a Levi can't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. That's when the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are the way they are today. But in that newfound Eretz Yisrael, then already it could be that's not going to be it. This is what he told Rabbi Chanan on the spot. Very sharp. But Al Koponim, this was... The Maram Mokim here in the Pardes Yosef in Parshas Kairach. Regardless, the Gemara is continuing to discuss this Braisa. So it's said in the Braisa, V'lein eschalka elu l'ksofim, that money was needed in order to true up the division of the land, Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Bein Rav Lemot. So the Gemara says, Lamai, let's talk this through in a more granular way. Where exactly was the money being used? Maybe it was Negeya. If the land is being divided, so the assumption is, this is the way the Rashbam explains it, that every person's getting an equal size land. Now, inevitably, one person's going to have better land, the other person's going to have lesser land, right? We know that all land in the times of Chazal was divided into Idias, Beninis, and Ziburis. So one person can get Idias, and another person can get Ziburis. So in order to make things equal, whoever got a better piece of land would have to hand over a little bit of cash like this to make everything equal. So when it's chalke elulik sofim shenema ben rav lemot, it's nageya where one person has better land than the other person, and presumably that was often going to be the case. And as a result, money played a very important role. But the Gemara says, is that what it means? It's a havamino ati b'shuftenei askinot. So what's a shuftenei in Aramaic? A shaita. What are we dealing with, fools over here? What do you mean? There's nobody that's going to give up a good piece of property for money, right? It was considered a very b'dievedig thing to sell property. And as a result, who would say, yeah, give me ziburis and a little bit of mezumin. Mezumin goes, right? Comes and goes. And you're going to be left with ziburis before you know it. The guy that got idiots is going to end up making a good return on his investment. And he's going to end up doing much, much better. So nobody would accept this. It doesn't seem fair. Meaning, giving someone money to make up the difference in value of property is actually not making him whole. So the Gemara says, Elo the kreiva v'ruchayka. You have to say that it was Negeya, how far or close you are from what? Says Rashbam, from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh. That the closer you are to Yerushalayim, the more chashuv the land was considered to be. And it's for two reasons. Number one, you're closer to the Makom HaMikdash. And number two, you're safer. You're farther removed from Eretz Amim and from the enemies. But the point is that where it was Negeya was not the quality of the land. No one's selling quality of land for money. It is what it is, and that's where it was Negeya the money. Either way, says the Gemara Ketanoi. This that the Braisa says, when Ischalke El Iksofen is really Machlekes Tanon, not just any Machlekes Tanon. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer said, Biksofen Helu, that the way a person who got a piece of land that was close to Yerushalayim made the other guy's whole was by giving him a few dollars. Rabbi Shua, I'm a bekarka helua. It wasn't with money. You didn't write a check. But rather what you did was you gave him a little bit more karka. In other words, you made him whole, but you made him whole by giving him karka, not by giving him money. So that nuance of when the schalke eloliksofin, that's really the machlokes tanam. The Rashbam says that the machlokes Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shua is really besvara. Besvara. Do you have to give you money or no? Being that you have better land, so give me a little bit more land. Not better land, kreivel land, right? Better land, I'll do b'shuftenei askinah, but land that's a little bit closer. Regardless, the b'raisa sevelei neschalko ela begoyrel. How do you know there was a goyrel shanemer? It says in the pasuk, ach begoyrel. Tanu, we learned in the b'raisa, ach begoyrel, yotzu Yeshua v'kalev. So ach is always memay. So who's ach coming to exclude? Yeshua and kalev, they weren't part of the girl. So Mar says, what do we mean when we say they weren't part of the girl? Elim, it doesn't mean they didn't get any part of the girl at all. Hashta delav dedu shakol dedumi paya. Meaning, you mean to tell me they didn't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? Did Yeshua and Kalev get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? We had the Gemaras earlier in Yesh Leichlin, where not only did it sound like they got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, it sounded like they cashed in. They got the Meraglim, and maybe even the Misloinenim, and maybe the Adas Kairach, but they got even land that wasn't coming to them. So you would think, Kal v'chaymer, they for sure got what was coming to them. Elo, she loinatlu begoyrel el al pi Hashem. What does it mean that they didn't get begoyrel? They didn't get begoyrel. And they didn't get. Meaning they weren't part of the goyrel. Oh, it sounds like they didn't get anything. No. But how did they got? They weren't part of the goyrel. So who did they get from? They got it directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you know that? So the Gemara says, Yeshua, we know it, because the pasuk says, Al pi Hashem, nosnu loy es ha'ir asheshol, es timnas serach behar Ephraim. We know it as it relates to Yeshua benon, based on this pasuk in Sefer Yeshua, right? Al pi Hashem, nosnu loy es ha'ir asheshol. So you see clearly, now the Gemara is going to digress a little bit. What was the name of the land that was given to Yeshua benon? He got Timnas Serach, which was in Har Ephraim. So the Gemara asks the kasha. Ksivit says Timnas Serach. Ksivit is another pasuk that says Timnas Cheres. So the first pasuk in Sefer Yeshua, the other one's a pasuk in Sefer Shoftim. But which one was it? Was it Timnas Serach or was it Timnas Cheres? Amar Rabbi Elazar said Betchilo Periseo Kecheres. Originally, it was called Timnas Cheres, and the reason is because the peres were very dry literally like earthenware. But after Yeshua benun got it, it brought bracha. Take it for Talmud Chacham bracha, Chazal say. And what was the bracha? All of a sudden, Periseo wa masricha. Now that doesn't sound like such a bracha, right? What does masriach mean? It's a shtink, right? That's what it sounds like. But Periseo masrichin actually means, says the Rashbam, that they were deshenim v'rananim. They were so zaftig that they were actually able to smell at some point. Masrichin in and of itself is a chisaron. It's not a milo. But the fact that there's something to smell is a little bit of a milo. When something is completely oisketrikin, so then it's going to wither. It's not going to smell. The chiddush over here was that Periseo masrichin. Igadami, some say, but chilo masrichin. No, it's just the other way. Initially, it was called Timnas Serach. Why? Because initially they were masrichin in a bad way. A cheres is something that's earthenware. It has a kiyum, right? It can last forever. And to the contrary, it was initially timnas serach, and then it became timnas cheres. Either way, so we said that ach begayrol yatsu Yeshua v'kalev. What does that mean? Yeshua benun didn't get from the goyrol. He got, but not from the goyrol. And kalev also got, but not from the girl. How do we know Yeshua benun got, but not from the girl? So we had a pasuk in Yeshua, al pi Hashem, nos nuloi, esoir, asheshol. How do you know it about Kalev? The verse says, Kalev, the pasuk says, vayitnu l'kalev es chevroin, kashendiber Moshe, vayirish misham es shloisha b'nei ha'anak. They gave Kalev chevroin, like Moshe Rabbeinu had promised he was going to get. Now, when did Moshe Rabbeinu promise that Kalev was going to get chevroin? It's a pasuk in the Torah. You have to learn chumash. It's mamish Mefurish. The pasuk says in Parshas Devarim, Zulasi Kalev ben Yefuna, Hu Yirena. He's the only one that's going to see the land. V'loy etein es ha'aretz. He's going to get part of the land. Asher darach ba ulevanov yan asher milei acherei Hashem. So he's going to get the land. Meaning, I'm going to give him the land. Asher darach ba. What does it mean? Asher darach ba. So if you look at Rashi and you look at Ibn Ezra and you look at Rabbeinu Bachya, they all say the same thing. Asher darach ba chevroi. Shenemar vayavoi ad chevroi. L'shoini azav shal Rashi. V'loy etein es ha'aretz asher darach ba says Ibn Ezra he chevroi. Rabbeinu Bechaya, Oretz Asher Darach Ba, he Chevroin, Shenema Vayove Ad Chevroin. So Moshe Rabbeinu told Kalev, you went to Chevroin, I'm going to give you Chevroin. What's the oimek? It's Pasha, it's not even oimek. The Pasha Pshat is, why did Kalev go to Chevroin? Chazal say he went to Davin by the Maros HaMachpelah, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me from that Tzas Meraglim. So you were very much not part of it. Not just that, you went to Chevron to Davin, you're going to end up getting Chevron. So Kalev ends up getting Chevron. That's what this pasuk means. Vayitnu l'Kalev es Chevron. Kashadiber Moshe. When did Moshe say he was going to get Chevron? It's that pasuk right there. Because that's the land, Asher Darach, by the way, all the Rishonim explain it. Either way, so you see, Kalev also got, not Alpi Goyro, it was Kashadiber Moshe. This is, right, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking, that means it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result, we know it with regards to Yeshua and regards to Kalev. The Gemara just asks one kasha. Chevron Ir Miklat Havai. Kalev was from Shevet Yehuda, and Chevron was in Ir Miklat, famously. And the Ari Miklat were Ari Alevim. So how does that work? Amar Abaye. Abaye said Parvara. You have to say that Kalev actually didn't get the city of Chevron, but he got like the suburbs of Chevron. The Chesiv, as the pasuk says, Vesteo Ir, Veschatzei Reha, Nosnu L'Kalev Ben Yefuna Bachuzasai, he got Chatzei Reha. What he really got was the surrounding areas. Either way, this concludes the rather lengthy portion of the daf here in Perikei Shnoichlin, daf after daf after daf, super duper geschmack as it relates to exactly how Eretz Yisrael was divided. We now return to our regular program, which is the basic halachos of Nachla. It says the Mishnah, Echad HaBen, Ve'echad HaBas, B'Nachla. A son and a daughter are shava, they're equal when it comes to Nachla. Ella, Shaben Noitel Pishnai Benichseyav, a son Yarshin's Pishnai, but gets a double portion, assuming he's the Bechar, if his father dies, but he doesn't get a double portion if his mother dies. Meaning a son, Yarshin's his father, Yarshin's his mother. A Bechar gets Pishnai, but only Minichseyav, not Minichseyav. Additionally, Vahabonois, Nizoinois Minichseyav, Eno Nizoinois Minichseyav. So we know that if there are sons, the daughters don't Yarshin. Then Ben Enloi, then Bavartav's Nachlos Libita. But in the event that there's a son, the daughter doesn't get anything. Stating that, we know Habonois Yozoino, right? That's Ksubis 101, and as we're going to learn a lot more about this here in Parakei Shnoichlin. So the daughters always got mezoinus, not Yerusha, but they got mezoinus. What if there's a little bit of money? So then the banois got, then the banim are nechazer al apsachim. But the bottom line is that the only time the banis win the zoinus is minichseyov. So if a father dies and he leaves over sons and daughters, the sons yarshin, the banois nizoinus. If a mother dies, it's the same halacha. The sons yarshin and not the daughters. But there the banois are not going to be nizoinus. So what did the Mishnah say? Let's get this clear, because really the balance of the daf is knowing Pash Pshan in this Mishnah. Echad ben the echad abas benachla. A son and a daughter are equal when it comes to Nachla, with the exception that a son gets Pishnai from the father, not from the mother. Additionally, Habonois Nizoinois is only true from the father. It's not going to be true from the mother. Now, if you read this Mishnah Pash Pshat, right, so it's definitely something that needs to be understood, right? Two reasons. Number one, the Mishnah starts with Echad Aben ve'Echad Abbas. Echad Aben ve'Echad Abbas means we're talking about the son and the daughter, right? We're comparing the son and the daughter. That's what's being compared over here. Ella, what does Ella mean? There's an exception between the son and the daughter. What's the exception? That the son gets Pishnai b'nichseyo'ov, but not b'nichseyo'eim, and the banoi son is zoinus b'nichseyo'ov, but not nizoinus b'nichseyo'eim. Those are not chilukim between Ben and Bas, those are chilukim between Nichse Yo'av and Nichse Yo'ein. So the Mishnah doesn't flow. We're starting off Echad Aben Echad Abbas, that the son and the daughter are the same as it relates to Yerusha, with the exception that there's chilukim between when the son or the daughter Yarshin from the father or Yarshin from the mother. When we started off, what we're saying is that there's a similarity between son and daughter. Ella, but there are differences between father and mother. Father dies, the son gets pishnayim. Father dies, abanus nizoinus. Mother dies, the son doesn't get pishnayim. Mother dies, abanus and not nizoinus. So what's the ella? It doesn't flow. Echad aben v'echad abbas, with the exception, you would think, the exception would be in ben and bas. The exception is not in ben and bas. The exception is in nichse yo'av and nichse aben. Meaning, if the Mishnah would have started and would have said, echad av echad ha'eim, ella, that would make perfect sense. If the Mishnah starts Echad Ben Echad Abbas and would say chilukim between Ben and Bas, that would make sense. But you're starting apples and you're ending oranges, right? It just doesn't flow. Echad Ben Echad Abbas is not using the son and the daughter. Oh, there are two chilukim. And the chilukim are in father and mother. So really, the Gemara is getting to this question, as we're about to start the Gemara now. But before that, the Gemara is going to try to understand what the words even mean, Echad Ben Echad Abbas. Like, a son and a daughter are the same. No, they're not. If there's sons and daughters, first of all, sons yarshin, daughters don't. Elamaya means some other halacha. So what exactly is that halacha? And really, you can't ask the kasha we just asked without understanding the first part of the Mishnah. So really, what the signon of this next Gemara is what are the words Echad Aben Echad Abbas Benachla mean? And then, assuming it means what we think it means, then how do you explain the Ella? How do you explain the second part of the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "My Echad Aben Echad Abbas Lanach Ilei Midiyarzik Yadadi." Doesn't mean that they yarshin together. Meaning, if a man dies, he leaves over a son and a daughter. Echad Aben Echad Abbas. They're both going to yarshin. It can't be a tran because we learned in a Mishnah. Which Mishnah? The Mishnah that talked about Seder Nachlois Ben Koydim Labas Kol Yitzirei Chayishal Ben Koydim Labas. Right? If we know anything about Yeshnoichlim, we know that sons yarshin, daughters don't. Less than no sons, but the point is, so Echad Aben Echad Abbas Benachla can't mean that the Shava Benachla, that they co-inherit. So the Gemara says, Simin Nafsham, and Nafsham is a Rosh HaTevis for the four Amayron that are going to take an attempt, take a crack at trying to say Pashup Shana in the Mishnah. First, one of the Amayron is an Amayra that starts with a Nun, and it's none other than the great Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Hachi Kom, let me tell you what the Mishnah means. Echad Aben Echad Abbas, Noitlin Beroy Kibemuchzik. Echad Aben Echad Abbas Benachla is actually referring to a specific halacha. You know what the halacha is? They're both noitel bera'oi kibemuchzik. What does that mean? They both yarshin their respective father or mother regardless of whether the father or mother got what they're about to yarshin, or they could have got what they were supposed to yarshin. So what's a classic example of that? A classic example of that would be someone has a father that died, but the Zayda is still alive. Then when the Zayda dies, so we know the grandchild yarshins. Why does he yarshin? Grandchild doesn't yarshin b'makim banim and banos. It's because the grandchild yarshins his parent that died, and through that ends up getting the chelik of the grandparent. Now, the parent that the grandchild is yarshining never had it, because the parent died during the lifetime of the grandparent. It was Roy. But there's halacha that a ben is yorish, and he's noitel Roy kibemuchzik. Abbas is also noitel Roy kibemuchzik, and that's what the Mishnah means when it says, echad ben ve'echad abbas. But the Gemara says, I have a problem with this. Number one, hanami tonino. This is a mefurish a Mishnah. Where was this Mishnah? The Mishnah that talked about the Bnei Slavchot. What did the Mishnah say? Bnei Slavchot not true. Shloisha chalakim and achla. Chelik avim. They got Slavchot's chelik. Shahoyim yotzim Mitzrayim. Right. The Mishnah holds the yotzim Mitzrayim the schal garetz. And not just that. The chelkayim echav bin nichsei chefer. And also, the Bnei Slavchot got the chelik that chefer was supposed to bequeath over to their father Slavchot. So what do you see from here? That not only is a ben noitel b'roikim b'mochzik, but Bas is also Noitel B'Roi Kibemuchzik. So I don't need a Mishnah here to tell me Echad Aben Echad Abbas B'Nachlo. That just like the Ben is Noitel B'Roi Kibemuchzik, so to the Bas. I know from the Mishnah of Bnei Slavchot. If the Bnei Slavchot got three Chalakim, right, we saw in the Gemara, maybe it was more Chalakim, four. But if the Mishnah said they got three Chalakim, from those three Chalakim was Slavchot's Chelik and Chefer. I Slavchot died B'Chayev Shal Chefer. Oh, you see clearly that you're Noitel B'Roi Kibemuchzik. But I, the Gemara says, my Elo, if you're going to read the Mishnah the way we thought you're supposed to read the Mishnah, the way we read the Mishnah, the way anybody would read the Mishnah, Echad Ben Echad Abbas Ben Nachlo, that means the Mishnah starts off telling you, Halacha, that Ben and Bas are the same. Ella, and what's the Ella? Something to do with the father and the mother. It doesn't make any sense, like we mentioned earlier. Ella, Amir Apopis, Rapopis, the second shot, Nafsham. So the Nun was Nachmin, the Pei is Papa, Hachi Kamar, Echad Ben Echad Abbas, Noitlin, Chelik, Bechayra. What we mean to say is that Saya son, Saya daughter, are noitel b'roike b'mochzik, and not just noitel b'roike b'mochzik, but they're even noitel the chelik ha-bechayra noitel k'b'roch. Now, there is an idea that a bechayra is not noitel b'roike b'mochzik, but this is different. The Gemara already spoke about this earlier in Yesh Noichlin. And the bottom line is that just like a child yarshins his father, let's say, who died b'chaye the Zayda, even though it was Roy, you also get the pishnai. And it's not just the son that gets the Pishnai, meaning assuming the father that died, Bechaya the Zayda, was the Bechar, it's not only his sons that would inherit the Pishnai, even though it was Ra'oi, but the daughters, if they're the ones that are being the Yairish, right, they're on the receiving end, they would also get the Pishnai, and that's what the Mishnah means. So it's very similar to what Rav Nachman by Yitzchak said, that Echad Aben Echad Abbas B'Nachla means that the noitel b'roi kibemuchzik. What's the difference? The difference is Rav Nachman Yitzchak was talking about the ikur din Yerusha, and Rav Papa's talking about in the event that the father that died, the father that was the roi, was a bechar, then Echad Aben Echad Abbas are going to yarshin that pishnayim that he was supposed to get. But the Gemara asks the same two questions. Number one, hanami tonina. We had that in the same Mishnah with the Bnei Slavchot. The shahaya bechar noitel shnei chalakim. Right? What did the Mishnah say? The Bnei Slavchot got three chalakim. What were the three chalakim that the Bnei Slavchot got? Slavchot's chelik and Slavchot's two chalakim in chefer. Why did Slavchot have two chalakim in chefer? Because he was the bechar. Also, you see that you noitel b'roikim and mochzik, and the banos also get it. So it's mefurish in the Mishnah. But in my Ella, and also you didn't explain the Ella. It's essentially the same exact shot, and it's the same exact two kashas. Ella, Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi said, and Rav Ashi is the shin of Nafsham, not Aleph, right? It's shin. Hachi kamer. This is the way you read the Mishnah. Echad bein bein habonim, the echad bas bein habonos, im amar yiresh. Call Nechasai Dvar of Kayam. Now, what the Mishnah is coming to say is, let's say somebody has multiple sons or somebody has multiple daughters, and he says, I want this son to get the whole Yerusha, or I want this daughter to get the whole Yerusha. So the halacha is it works. And it doesn't matter if it's a ben ben abanim or if it's a bas ben abanois, either way it's going to work. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Echad aben, Echad abas ben achla. But the Gemara says, 1 second, let's take a deep breath. Oh, this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika's very famous halacha. Big part of the latter part of Yesh Noichlin. Rabbi Yochanan Breika said that what? That if somebody was masna and he says, I want to give one of my sons amongst the sons, or one of my daughters amongst the daughters, Dvar of Kayom. So you're telling me this Mishnah here, Kuf Chav Beis, Amid Beis, is telling me Rabbi Yochanan Breika's halacha. What's the catch of Tommy Lali comes to Mishnah later? Daf Kuf Lamid. Rabbi Yochanan Breika, Omer, Omer, Amisha Roy Liyarsha, Dvar of Kayom. Amisha Ain Roy Liyarsha, Ain Dvar of Kayom. Right, as long as you are picking the father someone that's roi liyarsha, even if he gives them a disproportionate chelik, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, dvar of kiyom. But al kapanah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika is going to be discussed in great detail. Why do I need this mishnah to tell me Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika's halach? Tchitem, you'll tell me kosasam lank Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. No, maybe there's value in having a stam mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. Meaning, what's the value in having a stam mishnah? Because if it's a machloikas, you don't know what the halach is. If there's a stam mishnah, so that's a giveaway. But the Gemara says it's not going to help. You know why? Because stam va'achakach machloikas here. Because first we have the stam mishnah here on Kufcha Beis. Later on Kuflamid, you're going to have the machloikas. The stam va'achakach machloikas ain't halacha kistam. So it is shloima if this mishnah would have been after Rabbi Yechim and Rabbi, now we're talking. Because now it's machloikas va'achakach stam halacha kistam. But stam va'achakach machloikas, the halacha is anyways not like this time. See, you're fardining nothing. So what's the point? V'oy, the Gemara says, Mayelo. At the end of the day, we're stuck with the same problem. We keep on stubbing our toe. If Echad and Echad Abbas is meant literally that there's no difference between Yerushas Abbas and Yerushas Abbas, so then the Elo doesn't flow. Elo, Amar, Mar Baravashi. And Mar Baravashi is the endemem of Nafsham, even though Mar is a mem posuach, and that's a mem sasum, but it's a mem nonetheless. He said, Hachi Kamar, this is what the Mishnah means. Echad haben, the echad habas, shovin b'nichsei ha'em u'b'nichsei ha'av. A son and a daughter both yarshin their father and their mother. Meaning, a son yarshins his father and his mother. A daughter also yarshins her father and her mother. Which means that when we say echad haben, echad habas, we're not just talking about a similarity between ben and bas. We're also talking about a similarity between father and mother. Because that is the halacha. It's that the son and the daughter both yarshin the father. So you want to look at it from the standpoint of son and daughter, they're the same. You want to look at it from the standpoint of father and mother, they're the same. Son and daughter, both yarshin parents. Father and mother, both bequeathed to their children, regardless of male or female, right? So at the end of the day, the Mishnah is saying Echad ben Echad Abbas, but it's also saying Echad of Echad Aim. Oh, if it's also saying Echad of Echad Aim, so then the Elo works. Because what's the Elo? Elo, Shaben, Noitel Pishnai, Benichseyov, Veinu Noitel Pishnai, Benichseyov. Additionally, like the Mishnah said, Elo, that when the father dies, Abanas Yizainu, but when the mother dies, then you're not going to have the Abanas Yizainu. The point is, what does the Mishnah mean when it says Echad ben Echad Abbas? Number one, it's something that we didn't have in the Mishnah yet. It's not something that we had or something that we're gonna have. And as a result, it's definitely something that's newsworthy. And also, it's not just discussing halach of ben and bas, it's also discussing halach of av and eh. The Mishnah said echad ben echad bas, but it's negeya and echad av and echad eh. And being that it's negeya and echad av echad eh, the elo in the av and eh flows. And this is Parsha Pshat in this Mishnah. Just to end with one tiny ha'ara, just because it's negeya. This week's parasha, parashas v'zois habracha, and that is, so the Gemara talked about how Eretz Yisrael was divided, and it said that there was a geirah component, and there was also an urim v'tumim component. Hakeitzad. So the Braisa said, how's that possible? Either it was a geirah, or it was the urim v'tumim. Which one was it? And the Braisa goes on and gives a rather descriptive visual of how this played itself out. Elazar melubish urim v'tumim. Elazar was wearing the urim v'tumim. The Yeshua v'chal Yisrael eivim lefanim. Yeshua benonim, all the Klal Yisrael was standing in front of him. The kalpi shal shvatim, the kalpi shal tchumim v'nach lefanim. And there were these two baskets. And then he communicated with the urim v'tumim via ruach hakodesh, and he would say zvulin oila and tchumak oila imai tarf bekalpi, and boom, everything played itself out the way he said it was going to play itself out. So there was an urim v'tumim component and there was a girl component. If you notice, the Gemara says hoyim mechavin beruach hakodesh, that when he spoke to the urim v'tumim alaz kohen gadol, he spoke beruach hakodesh. It sounds like you couldn't talk to the urim v'tumim unless you had ruach hakodesh, right? What's Avdu Ruach HaKadosh? If you want to talk to someone, you don't have to have Ruach HaKadosh. Ruach HaKadosh, if you want to delve into the heebie-jeebie. But why do you have to have Ruach HaKadosh to talk to Urim V'tumim? It sounds like you couldn't just talk to Urim V'tumim. It required Ruach HaKadosh, which is a madrega of Nevuah. And without Nevuah, without Ruach HaKadosh, you couldn't communicate. And the truth is, it's a Mefurash Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechtas Yuma, Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara says, Kol Koyin She'ena Medaba B'Ruach HaKadosh. He had no ability to be shoyled by the Urim V'tumim. So a criteria was, in order to communicate with the Urim V'tumim, you had to have Ruach HaKodesh. Could be, Parashas V'zayis HaBracha, we say, Ula Levi Omar, Tumecha V'urecha Le'ish Chasidecha, Sheva Levi, that the Kayanim. They have the Urim V'tumim. And the Urim V'tumim, says the Pasuk, was given to who? It was given Le'ish Chasidecha. So I was thinking that we all know the Braisa of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. Gemara brings in it in Masechta Sefer Dezar, Daf Chav Amud Beis, the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato, of course, based his magnum opus, Mesilas Yesharim, on that braisa. The braisa says, Amra Pinchas Ben Yor, Toir Mevil Ode Zahirus. The Hirus, Mevil Ode Zrizus. Zrizus, Mevil Ode Nekios. Nekios, Mevil Ode Prichus. Prichus, Mevil Ode Tyra. Tyra, Mevil Ode Chsidus. Chsidus, Mevil Ode Anova. Anova, Mevil Ode Yiras Chet. Yiras Chet, Mevil Ode Kedusha. And Kedusha, Mevil Ode Ruach HaKoidesh. Ruach HaKoidesh, Mevil Ode Trias HaMesim. So he gives you the Seyda Advarim, the pecking order of Avodas Hashem, of all the different Madregas of Anhaga. And when you come to the Shpit, which is Kedusha, it's Mevil de Ruach HaKodesh. And by the way, once you have Ruach HaKodesh, you can even come Lidei Tchias HaMesa. The Girsa that we have in our Gemara is that the highest Madrega is Kedusha. And that's the Girsa that Ramchal had, and the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim works based on the Seder, the Girsa, the Gemara that we have in the Vilna Shas, in Avodah Zarah Daf Chof Amud Beis. But the truth is, if you look in the Rishonim, there were other Girsas. There's a girsa that the Rishonim had that says that the last madrigas are Kedusha, Anava, Yirashet, and Chasidos. Another girsa that the Rif and the Rosh and Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Mashal brings this girsa, is Kedusha, Yirashet, Anava, and Chasidos. The Tzad HaShavah between those last two girsas is that the last madrega is the madrega of Chasidos. The truth is, the Gemara itself, after it lists all the madregas of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, says, the Chasidos gedoy lemikulon, shenema oz dibarta b'chazon b'chasidecha, which really doesn't stem so much with the girsa of the Gemara. Because if Chasidos is gedoy lemikulon, then why is it that after Chasidos you have Anava, Yirashet, and Kedusha? It stems very good with the girsa that the other Rishonim had. And that is that Chasidos is the last madrega. So again, the way every yeshiva bachur knows it, which is based on the Ramchal, is that the highest madrega is Kedusha. But the way most of the Rishonim Megayris is not that the highest madrega is Kedusha, but rather it's Chasidus. If a person wants to come to Ruach HaKodesh, what madrega in Avodas Hashem does he have to reach? He has to climb the mountain. And at the top of the mountain, what he's going to find is Chasidus. A Kohen Gadol was only able to be shoyl by the Urim V'Tumim if he had Ruach HaKodesh. To get Ruach HaKodesh, you have to have Chasidus. That's the end of the Braisa. Chasidus mevil de Ruach HaKodesh, says the Pasuk. Ulelevi Yomar, Tumecha ve'urecha le'ish chasidecha. It's not enough that you're a member of Shevet Levi. It's not enough that you're a Kohen. You can even be a Kohen Gadol. But you have to be an ish chasidecha. You have to be a chasid. Tumecha ve'urecha le'ish chasidecha. Because if you're a chasid, Chasidus mevil de Ruach HaKodesh, and if that's the case, then you'll be able to have a shaychus with the Urim V'Tumim.